Welcome to a special edition of the Roadside Rant. Yours truly, Canadian Travis, the one and the only. We're alive from Interstate, New York State, wherever the fuck we are. 15 on our way to StarCast. Travis, early start to the day for you, right?
About three in the morning, yeah. So
unfortunately, some circumstances arose we won't get into, obviously. But you know, we wanted to leave yesterday from New York, and you know, now we're about 3 hours, well, 2.5 hours, give or take, from Baltimore.
And for you non-Canadians, we're 218 kilometers from the hotel.
Yeah.
You figure that shit out for yourselves.
Yeah, that's especially for Tim in the summer suit. So who we'll see later on in a couple hours, but. You know, I figure it was kind of an interesting concept that we wanted to get out here on the road, because you hear a lot of people doing, you know, live shows. You know, obviously Cassio will be doing one, I'm sure. I saw him packing his equipment. I'm like, you know, I'm not as high tech as Cassio. I'm not as a big deal as Cassio.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not packing microphones. I'm doing it on the old iPhone like I normally do. And I figured, you know what, we'll get some interaction with the lovely listeners in Ranters Nation that I have. I'm surprised that I got 10 or 11 questions myself. I'm surprised I got that. But, you know, a little Q&A, just to kind of shoot the shit. And
hey, you're a big deal, man. You're over.
Yeah.
That shit happens.
Yeah, tell that to that, like, my 10 listeners that I have, which is fine, but it's all good. But no, it seems like everybody's getting in podcasting now. It's good. Our friend Big Kev, I saw, is got into podcasting too. Or no, Jeff the Ref or Big Kev?
Jeff the Ref
did, okay. But he's starting his old school. He's one of those guys, as you know, it's, you want to know anything about wrestling in the history or whatever, he's the guy to go to. Him and Jeff the Ref, actually. But yeah, so if the audio's not too well, blame the...
Blame it on the rain.
Blame it on the rain, literally.
Yeah.
Because obviously we got a little snow. We got a little snow or rain now. It's like, what the hell? It's like, more north we go, it's the snow. So hopefully it won't meet us down in Baltimore. But who knows?
No, I think we're staying just south of it.
That's
at least
fine.
From that map you showed me earlier.
Yeah, that's fine.
I think we're hovering just south of the snowstorm right now.
Yeah, no. My son's all about it, all about the snow. I was, hey, buddy, it's going to snow today. Oh, yeah. And he's like, yeah, it won't be enough so you can play. Oh, okay.
Well, he's not driving yet either. You start to hate snow when you have to drive in it.
Oh, exactly. You know, but yeah, we got, like I said, we got about 10 questions. We're actually going to save the best for last two. We're going to do a list of wives. For those of you that don't know the history about that, friends of the show, the All Elite podcast, if you're not subscribed to that, go over and subscribe to them. Kyle Masters, who's a fellow Canadian, by the way, he lives up in Niagara Falls, Canada.
Okay.
So he's actually going to be at StarCast too, so we may meet up with them.
Sweet.
And then the executive vice president of Giggles, Tiffany from... where the fuck is she? Yeah, she's from Queens, downstate New York.
Yeah.
So she comes up with a list of husbands, which basically encompasses 8 husbands, which she expanded the list to 15 because she didn't want to, you know, discriminate to any of the rest of the gentlemen in independent wrestling or the bigger promotions. So pretty much we got a list of 8. I have a list of 8, you have a list of 8, list of wives. I pretty much know what you're going to do because, you know, it's, I think we've done it before, but.
I think in like text chats we've joked about it, but.
Oh, yeah.
The listeners can decide for themselves.
But we'll do that. We'll save that for last. But so pretty much, like I said, I've been putting out for the last week for, you know, listeners to submit their questions. Pretty much anything, baseball, wrestling, food, whatever. But I got a good, fairly good list. Some of these people you'll recognize, some of you may not. But first question comes from the Good Cop, Bad Cop Wrestling Podcast. Go follow them on Twitter at Good Bad Wrestle. Graham and Matt do that great podcast on the Visionaries Wrestling Network, which is a network that I actually created with the view from the top rope guys, and then, you know, circumstances, I got, you know, offered to go out on my own and do a podcast, and they were very forthcoming and said, oh, go do it. So they're keeping it going, so appreciate them. Graham actually asked, because he made sure I knew this. Mm-hmm. And we got to make sure we don't hit that car.
No, we're good. We're for that. It's this truck up here in the right lane.
God
so
damn it.
I'm sure people know that sometimes trucks just like to hit the brakes for no particular reason. So you got to
sons of bitches.
But I'm good. You don't worry about me.
Wait, if it goes dead all of a sudden and we come back, you'll know.
Yeah. And if it goes dead all of a sudden and we're dead with it, whoever finds this recording, you have to upload it. That's the only one.
Is he fucking? No, this is great. This is a great podcast. You got some douchebag parking in the middle of the fucking highway.
They can't see it, so we'll just flip them off as we go
by.
Some
son of a bitch. Hey,
but
you're Canadian. You're supposed to be nice.
Yeah. I'm not. I hate Bret Hart. I'm not a good Canadian.
That's for you, JD. So. But anyways, Graham's question. Back on topic.
Yes.
He asks, as you're headed to Baltimore for StarCast. And this is more aimed towards me. I'm sure I know you're a baseball fan too. But as a big baseball fan, give me your best cop Oriole player and worst cop Oriole player. So basically, what a best cop and worst cop is, how their format of their podcast is, they do a good cop, bad cop of the week of wrestling.
Okay.
So for example, like I don't want to draw, but a good cop would be, you know, Adam Cole beating Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Bad cop would be Seth Rollins losing. Whatever way you want to look at.
Yeah.
So, I'll start with good cop or good best cop for Oriole for me was always with Brady. You remember Brady Anderson was an outfielder for the Orioles in the mid 90s there?
Yes.
The only reason why he's a good cop for me is because my uncle's first wife.
Yes.
Her sister dated Brady Anderson.
Oh, cool.
So I had the pleasure of meeting Brady Anderson in person when we went to an Orioles game right when Camden Yards opened up.
Mm-hmm.
And by far that's been one of my favorite ball fields, stadiums to go to, whatever it may be, whether it be football, baseball, hockey, whatever. It's always been one of my favorite ones.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of obviously South Bend with Notre Dame Stadium, but
yeah.
But yeah, that's my best cop. My bad cop is Albert Bell.
Oh,
he had a short stint there with Baltimore. I just hated everything about him. I met him once. He was the most arrogant son of a bitch I've ever met. And that's including wrestlers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I just never, and honestly, both of these guys got popped for steroids too.
Well, good for them. I mean, good for the league then anyways.
I guess, but they were at that time where it was kind of that lull in baseball. That was before the steroid controversies, you know, with Bonds and McGuire and Palmeiro and all that stuff. But yeah, those are my two. Albert Bell is my bad, and Brady Anderson is my my best cop. So
okay, so for me, I mean, you're a Yankees fan, I'm a Blue Jays fan, so this stays within the division for all of us, I think. My best cop for the Orioles for me would be, and this is just me being selfish, but them so graciously and nicely losing that wild card game a few years ago to the Jays that put us into the playoffs.
Oh yeah,
so thank you for that. Bad cop with them.
So they were like the Andy Dalton of baseball then.
Yeah, essentially. I mean, like, it was the one game wild card game.
Oh, okay.
But you
still
have to win that. Like, you're technically in the playoffs, but you're not really in the playoffs.
Yeah,
you
got
to get to the ALDS. So that was nice of them to lose that game for us. Much appreciated.
Well,
of course. We beat them still, but it was great. And
don't feel bad. Everybody beats the Orioles.
Yeah. Well, not always if you're a Blue Jays fan. If you're a Yankees fan, yeah, you can say that with
convention.
You can say that with bells on, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really have a bad cop for the Orioles. I mean, just being being a Jays fan and they're the Orioles, I guess.
Yeah.
And I know this is not a visual podcast, but those crossing buttons are really far out on that pole.
Dude, they...
Yeah.
What the fuck? Okay, for those of you that aren't...
Hold on. I'm going to take a picture of this, and you're going to post this on your social media, because that... It's like...
I have to. It actually looks... I'll point at it, because that is absolutely... It's like it's like the Blue Chew... of crossing buttons.
Yeah. Yeah, for anyone who was wondering what we're talking about right now. He'll post that on
I'll post it as soon as we get off here, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that was interesting.
If you wanted a Blue Chew crossing button, that would be it.
Like, what's wrong with just walking up to the pole and hitting the button like normal? I don't know why it has to be on a 5-foot pole in each direction.
Lazy people.
I guess so.
I don't know.
I don't know either. But anyways, let's question two.
So question two. Thanks for Graham and Good Cop Bad Cop go giving the subscription on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So our next question comes from across the pond. Good friend Darren Kirkby, Dash Kirkby at Dash Kirkby on Twitter.
Okay.
He said, "Did you think Starcast would have ever become the phenom? Maybe? I don't know. Fuck it. The phenom that it actually has become."
Yeah.
Basically meaning, do you think it would have gotten as big as it has? We'll start with you. Yeah, we can go with that.
Yes. To quote Tony Schiavone, without question. Because the man who runs it, Conrad, I mean, the man, you know, has built businesses from the ground up everywhere he's ever gone. And, you know, once he sort of fine-tuned what, you know, makes a good, successful convention in his eyes, you know, it was smooth sailing. Because I know there were some hiccups at the first two. I know the first one, you know, the first one they ever did, so there was a few hiccups there, which is going to happen with anything. And then the second one, I know there was, I know just with the hotels they were working with, that was a whole other thing. But I was at number three. That was the first one I was able to attend. It was fantastic. Everything was firing on all cylinders, and hence why we're here at number four. And this one's going to be bigger than ever, better than ever. I think this one is going to be the best StarCast yet. And, you know, knowing Conrad, I'm sure they already have five in the back of their head. But to answer the question, no. Yes. I completely expected it to get as big as it did. Once Conrad committed to doing more than one, I knew it was just going to be a matter of time before it became one of the premier wrestling conventions that people can look forward to every year.
Yeah, because I discussed this with Dave Hancock on last week's show, and he didn't expect it to be as big as it is now. But in the back of his mind, I'm probably paraphrasing, but he even thought that it could have gotten that big because he knew how dedicated Conrad was to the cause.
Exactly.
Because it goes to the fact of where he mentioned, you can go back and listen to word for word in the archives to last week's show, but he was paraphrasing where he met Conrad through like being a belt collector, the way that obviously everybody knows that Conrad is, and with him and Super Dave and Jay-Z and and Jeff Jewett, who we just talked about, we'll see too this weekend. And you know, it just blossomed from there and went up. And with, you know, hindsight being that it is being the starting off at 1, 2, 3, you know, you're gonna have the hiccups no matter where, whether it's 1 or 4 or whatever. You're gonna have those certain things that'll happen. But
yeah.
I never thought it would have been, you know, as big as it is now. Just looking at it now, it's like, okay, well, you know, who would have thought, you know, a bunch of wrestling nerds, because at the end of the day, that's all we really are, is would have expanded to as much as it is, because, you know, you get guys coming in, you know, you're looking at, okay, Crockett's are making their first appearance ever at StarCast 4 here in Baltimore, but you know, you get guys like Sting coming out with the original, you know, Red, White, and Blue, paying homage to the Great American Bash here. I believe it was 90, right?
Yeah, Baltimore. I believe so, yeah.
That's
where he won the title in the Red, White, and Blue, yeah.
Yep. So, it's just, that's what I'm looking forward to. I just, you know, this being my first one, you know, just seeing, you know, the surroundings, the ambiance, of what a StarCast brings, because, you know, whether you're myself or whomever else doing a wrestling podcast, there's a lot out there now, no matter what.
Yeah.
And, you know, you see it, and it's like, okay, it's like you go back to those days when you were that young of watching this stuff live or recorded or whatever, so.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, one of those things that, you know, people might not realize too, especially if you're on the outside looking in, is like, there's a lot of these conventions out there. Because you've got The Gathering, you've got, where's the ones? WrestleCade.
WrestleCade, it's happening at the end of the month,
yeah. And, you know, I think Starcast is quickly becoming one of the better ones, and one of the bigger ones, just, you know, given, you know, how it's run and, you know, the person who runs it himself and what he can bring to the table. I think the only hiccup at Starcast 4, which we had talked about earlier, was only one that I personally experienced, and that's when that poor child's dad tried to fight me and MJF because MJF made fun of his kid.
But, you know, and like we talked about before, too, and as I'm catching my second win with my second cup of coffee from Dunkin' Donuts, as you're sucking down yours. But, yeah, I just, I have no sympathy for guys like that. And I'm sure he was a great guy if you got to know him. Granted, and I think I would have been the same way too if somebody was making fun of my son.
Oh, I wouldn't have. But I'm like, son, you probably had a comment. I'm sorry.
but you know what I mean? I'm like, you understand? Okay, you stutter, whatever. You know what I mean? You're gonna be made fun of no matter what when you get to school.
Yeah, probably.
I think so. Either that, or whether you play sports or you're in some sort of club, you're gonna. And unfortunately, that's the way that society is now, where you have some sort of disability or you have some sort of speech impediment or lisp or whatever. You're going to be made fun of when you're a kid. And when you get older, you can shove it in their face when you become famous or something, you know?
Yeah.
But
and that's what I was kind of thinking with this gentleman here. I got to go here. My GPS froze on us. Sorry.
Son of a bitch, yeah.
I'll reset it in a second. No, but it's... yeah, it's one of those things, like... And that's kind of what I said to him when he got in my face about trying to find MJF, because MJF left me with his cell phone.
Yeah.
Well, he went to fuck around in the lobby and, you know, just cut some promos on people. And this guy, you know, wanted to find where MJF was. I'm like, you know, you're at a wrestling convention, right?
Yeah.
Like, you shouldn't be taking anything you hear here personally. Like, it's not, you know.
Right.
I get your son might be a little young and there might be something there. Okay, fine. I understand that. But, like, don't take it personally. Like, you know where you are.
Well, yeah, but it's just like, okay, you know he's a heel. You know he plays a really damn good heel. But it's just like, okay, come on, guy. You know you're going to be being at a wrestling convention. And honestly, a lot of the times, too, from what you do going from... We'll go even from a wrestling convention to a... what you call it? Comic-Con. You're seeing a lot of wrestling personalities going to Comic-Cons now.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, they're encompassing the whole world, country, whatever.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you see, everybody relates back to wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, yeah, like, case in point, I went to my very first Comic-Con this year. In Niagara Falls, Ontario, to meet The Undertaker.
I remember seeing that.
One of his few public appearances that he was doing. I think he booked it when he was still having a contract negotiation with WWE. So it was one of the few commitments he could make, since they don't let people do that under contract all that often.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever went to that. And yeah, that's when I lived. Like, they focus a lot of that on nostalgic wrestling as well. So it's kind of cool.
Well, yeah, but apparently The Undertaker wasn't allowed at StarCast, but he was allowed at Comic-Con in Niagara Falls.
Comic-Con, Niagara Falls, you know. StarCast, come on, we know.
Well,
it's all good.
You know. But anyways, that's kind of a roundabout roundabout answer on that, Mag, so appreciate that question.
Yeah, that went overtime on that one. Thank you.
Why not? And that's what I was kind of hoping for with a lot of these... a lot of these questions where, you know, you just go off tangent a little bit, but...
Of course.
And I know, I'm sure everybody that doesn't know you, I'm sure everybody that does know you, you can kind of get off on a tangent a little bit.
Of course.
You're a good salesman, you know?
That's what I do.
as he's sitting here in his suit, and I'm in jeans and a t-shirt and sneakers, so, you know, he's got to sell, you know?
Yeah, this is my 3 a.m. wear, too. This is, like, my casual suit, too.
Yeah, and what you can't see is you can actually see a little fucking ironing board in the back.
You mean my laptop?
Well, that too. The laptop that's in the car seat. So, but anyways, I digress. We'll move on.
Of course.
I just got to make sure that I go to the right freaking question. So, our next question, excuse me, comes from our new friends of the show, Wrestling Code, or excuse me, Wrestle Codes. So, their question is, with Natalia being the first woman to wrestle and win in Saudi Arabia, he wants to get our thoughts on that. Honestly, I listened to her interview she did with Busted Open out the other day.
Yeah.
And I think she's going to be... I'm not going to try to compare her to Andre, but I think she's going to be that one women's wrestler that will be that face of women's wrestling to go overseas. You know, something similar to what Mark Henry's doing now that he's out, not wrestling anymore. He's being the face of the company. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was interesting hearing from what she was talking about on Bust It Open. There we go.
Yeah.
Where, you know, she comes out with a cat ears headband or whatever, and she normally puts it on other little girls, but she, you know, was respecting the Saudi,
their culture.
Their culture.
Yeah.
So she didn't put it on their head. She handed it to them, and then the little girl put it on her head afterwards. But I think, I'll be honest, I've never been a huge fan of women's wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a big, as we'll see later in the list of wives, I'm a big Natty Neidhart fan. precursor to listen later as we discuss our list of wives. But she is, you know, a fellow Canadian. She is a part of the Hart family. As you're not a fan of the Harts, but anyways.
No, I'm not a fan of Bret Hart.
Oh, okay. Bret Hart, okay.
Bret Hart's the standout there. The rest of them are great.
But
Owen, Neidhart, they're all great. Just Bret.
But we're going to start to see that that corner turn.
Yeah.
With women's wrestling, especially in Saudi Arabia, because, you know, Saudis, you know, they don't think very highly of their women. Obviously. As for those of you that don't know that, go Google it.
Mm.
But, you know, I thought it was great to see them finally making that. I didn't watch it personally because I really didn't care to watch it. Their Saudi show last week. Or a couple weeks ago or whenever it was. But yeah, it was what it was. They've made that good stride. And with her and Lacey Evans, you know, they're starting to make that turn. They really are. And it's got to be at least commended on that end of it. Whether you like it or not, it is what it is.
Yeah, they're going to do their thing. I mean, I don't think you're going to see... I think you're going to see some women that'll be willing to go over there. I think some others might not be willing to go over there. So I think it'll be... They might start with one match at every show going forward, alternate the women who do wrestle, and see where it grows from there. I think it really just depends also on, you know, who wants to do it. Like, cause for some reason, I can't see, like, a Sasha Banks wanting to go over there and participate.
Well,
but again, I don't know. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, but she did, well, correct me if I'm wrong, didn't she do a show with Alexa Bliss over there? Or was it somewhere else?
You mean Super Showdown, the one they did in Australia?
No. It was like they did a show in... Was it last year in Saudi?
Well, this is the first time they had women's wrestling in Saudi Arabia. Like, this was the first one.
No, it might have been somewhere else.
Okay. I think they did, like... I think they've had women's wrestling on those, like, Middle Eastern...
Might have been one of the Middle Eastern...
Like, Middle Eastern troops tours that they do around Christmas.
Because they had to be...
But that's different circumstances.
Yeah. But I think it was because I think it was the two of them. I know it was definitely Alexa Bliss and Sasha. They had to wear the full body suits like Natty and Lacey Evans wore for obvious reasons. But I could have sworn that they were over there. But yeah, I agree with you too. Where I don't see Sasha doing it, you know, or even you know, because now Alexa Bliss is hurt again. So
yeah.
It's just who knows what the hell is going to happen with her, but. You know, you're going to start to see a lot of those women's wrestlers or men or whatever, you know, don't agree with, you know, going overseas. But, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, that's going to, if they're going to pay for it, you know, people are going to, they're going to keep going.
Absolutely.
Which I think that's, you know, unfortunately, that's, you know, the time we live in. If people are going to start paying money to watch, to have you guys have them come over. You know, unfortunately, that's going to happen.
Of course.
That is absolutely fantastic. My car stopped. I'm actually, like I said, this isn't a visual, but I'm just obvious things. Car stopped on the side, 80 meters, 50 meters, and it's right there. Anyways.
How far do you think a meter is, if you had to guess?
That far. We get.
Yeah, my whole car is in metric, so because it's a Canadian car. So it's always fun to have non-Canadians in here, and they get to... revel in my temperature gauges in Celsius or my speedometer.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, that's in Celsius.
Oh, no shit. I didn't even notice that. I'm like, oh, it's 21. It's cold, but I figured it was that cold. Who the hell cares? If you want to know how to compare metric to actual readings, just ask Summersuit Tim. He can let you know on how to read it.
Actual readings, wow.
Actually, the right way of reading it. And that truck's coming up pretty quick. Anyways.
That guy's going like 40.
In
a 89.
Capital. I could have sworn that was a fucking Labatt Blue. Anyways, but it was good. As I said, this is an audio thing. We can't be really too obvious outside of that blue chew of crossing buttons. So big thanks to Russell's Code or Russell Codes over there. Go give them a follow. They're at Russell's Code on Twitter. So our next question comes from Anthony Talks Stuff. He is at AA Talks Stuff on Twitter. Does a fantastic podcast. He talks a lot about. He's a big Bills fan, so I'm a big fan of his, obviously.
There you go.
So very close to being the Toronto Bills at once.
They were doing a game there for a season for a while. So
yeah, well,
I took out a few of those, but the Bears came to town. Anyways.
Well, they draw as much as the Argonauts do, so.
Yeah, no, it wasn't great.
So he says, if you could watch or could only watch one wrestling match for the rest of your life, what match would it be and why?
Okay.
So
you go first. I got mine.
Mine's going to be a trilogy, and I know you're going to know where I'm going with this. It's the Steamboat Flair trilogy.
But he said one match, though.
Pick any match that they did.
Okay.
Because anybody comes to me and asks, okay, what one match? I'm not a wrestling fan. What one match? I'm getting into it. What one match would you suggest me that I watch? I said, you know, you can do any. You can do, Michaels and Taker, any of their matches they had at WrestleManias. You know, Brett and Owen at Mania 10. But for me, you know, being the old school wrestling fan that I am, is, you know, go back, watch Flair and Steamboat. You know, if you want a story being told in a ring. They had the great trilogy of matches. Anything from, you know, going down to Baltimore for now, where, you know, that's where they, Great American Bash, you know, they maintained in Baltimore, in the Baltimore Arena there, throughout the 80s, early 90s. Steamboat, you know, was always that consummate babyface. You never really saw him as a heel.
Yeah.
Going against that heel Ric Flair. That is, like I said, if you want a story to be told in a ring, watch pretty much any match Ric Flair had. And then with Steamboat, that just adds to it. So I would say, you know, Ric Flair, to narrow it down, I'd say, I believe it was, Starrcade, maybe, 89?
I think so.
It was their final one?
I'm 75% sure on that.
Okay.
Don't quote me on
that. It was either that or Great American Bash. It was one of the two.
I thought it was Starrcade, but I'm not 100%.
I know Tony and Conrad did the show with the last, I can't remember if it was Great American Bash or Starrcade, but you can tweet at us at @_ringsiderant if you know, and I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, what's your one match?
This one's easy for me. So it has to go with probably the biggest match I ever saw in person from the only WrestleMania I've ever attended live. And for me, it's Hogan and Rock at WrestleMania 18.
Mm.
I could watch that time and time again because I was there. I mean, it was a great match. It was a great story. The finish was great. The way, you know, everything kind of came together at the end with the NWO turning on Hogan. That was fantastic. But for me, because I was there in that building, I mean, that was a very, you know, young Travis there, you know, was seeing that energy live. I could still, you know, close my eyes, you know, hear the sound from being there live, see it all right from where we were. So, like, you know, that one I could sit down and watch every single day for the rest of my life if I had to.
Yeah, because that was one of the ones. Because that was what? That was what? 2000? 2001?
2002.
No. Played, was it late? Yeah, it was later. It was 2002.
Yeah,
because yeah, after the invasion angles.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of the first ones that I saw coming back when I got back. Oh, look, another deer.
You got to get context on the deer now.
You got to get context. Okay, We've been able to count as since when Travis.
I think it's our fourth or fifth year.
Well, yeah, since you picked me up in Rochester, we probably counted what like half a dozen at least at this point on the side of the road roadkill.
And we have just as many deer in Canada, but I don't know what the difference is up there. I know up there, like if there's a deer on the side of the road, like some hillbilly will come by in a truck and toss it in the back and do something with it. I don't know if it's fucking it or eating it, or whatever he's gonna do with it. Whatever's left of it, he will do something with it. But I've never, in all my years of living in Canada, I've never seen a dead deer carcass on the side of the road. And we've already seen four or five today.
Man, well, for whatever listeners we just had, they're gone now for all that deer fucking comment. So
I didn't say you were fucking the deer.
Oh, okay. Okay, whatever. Okay, I digress. I forgot even where the fuck I was going with that. When I got back into watching wrestling, that was one of the first ones that I saw. The WrestleManias, WrestleMania 18. And for a lot of those are probably one of the best ones of all time. Whether you go 17, 18, those are the two best WrestleManias that I saw when I got really back into it. Because, you know, I got into it full go back in 2000. But, you know, watching those main events. Okay, somebody's cutting the side of the road. But that's when I got back into it. And that was one of those better WrestleManias that I saw.
Yeah. No, it was good. And I mean, for me, like, I've never, because my uncle, who I was very close with, he had recently passed, but he got me into wrestling when I was a kid. He was really big on Jim Crockett Promotions, Mid-South, WCW. He had all the tapes, so that's what I grew up on, which is very unusual coming from Canada. Usually Canada's a very WWE-heavy space, so I was one of the few who was watching all that old school, Southern wrestling, so to speak. So that's where like my love of WCW comes from. And he was never one for traveling, so him and I, our tradition every year was to watch WrestleMania together. I think we started that at WrestleMania 14, I believe. And I'm sure it's like this everywhere, but in Canada anyways. All the local IMAX theaters, you can pay like $10 for a ticket and you can go watch WrestleMania live on their giant ass screen like you're seeing a movie. So we did that every year right up until just this past WrestleMania. This year, I think it was 35 this year? 35 or 36. Whatever the one was that just happened. Yeah. So that's what we did every year. So because 18 was in Toronto, that was like that was doable. Like travel-wise, ticket-wise. So we were able to do that. So that was always very special for me as well. Never mind just like, you know, how great that match was and just the rest of the card. Like, yeah, Taker and Flair, Triple H, Jericho. Like, there was a lot of great stuff going on there.
Yeah, I don't know anything down here in the States. I may be wrong, at least in upstate New York. I'm sure they have it elsewhere in the country, but I don't know of any place, like you said, IMAX, that does that now. I've always just, you know, I got a 60-inch TV at home. I can stay home and watch it just as well there as anywhere else. So I'm perfectly happy with that, but I would actually, you know, especially being in Rochester, where wrestling is pretty big, as you know, in upstate New York.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure people would break it in hand over fist if they were to do it.
It
may not necessarily have to be at a Regal, at IMAX. Mm-hmm. It could be one of these little podunk, you know, side AMCs or whatever.
The reason why it came to that was because we always treat WrestleMania like a big event, like a lot of people do, because it is a big event.
Uh-huh.
It's a big deal. And because people who don't even watch wrestling, like even people who are out of wrestling still watch WrestleMania. But, you know, back in the day when you were doing pay-per-view the old school way, I don't know how it was down here, but if you wanted to do pay-per-view at home, you had to call the cable company, try and reserve a box, go down and get the box. You had to go in and plug the box in and hook it all up with a TV. It didn't always work. You had to get back on the phone with the cable company to get it all worked up just to pick up the pay-per-view. Yeah. And then if you didn't have the box back by Monday, there was a big late fee. And like, so for us, it was just easier. Hey, let's just pay a few bucks. Everyone likes going to the movies, get popcorn, comfy seats, so let's just do it that way. And even as, like, the network came out and, you know, times changed, you know, we just stuck to our tradition. Just go to the movie theaters, you know? That's what we grew up on and we did for years and, you know, we just kept it going.
Yeah. Now, it's a great concept, but it's just you gotta have, especially depending on what market you're in, too.
It also varies on the card, too. So we used to go to, because I'm originally from Hamilton, Ontario. So for any Canadian listeners or nearby Canadian listeners, you'll know exactly where that is. And there was two major theaters in town, and one of them used to show them, and every year it was packed. So you had to get there early, get a good seat, and every seat was taken by the end of the night. But then they opened a second theater, and the second theater started showing it as well, but they didn't advertise it. So the first year the second theater opened, they had comfier seats, bigger screens. So I went over there and I asked if they were going to show it, and they said yeah. So we got the tickets, and we were literally the only two in the theater. so over the next, like, and we went that to that theater from that point on for, like, the next, like, 10 WrestleManias or whatever it worked out to be. And, yeah, like, it slowly grew, but attendance went up and down at that theater specifically, just with, you know, where the industry was and what the card looked like. You know, if it was a great card, it was going to be packed. If it wasn't a great card, it might be half to quarter full. Mm-hmm. And it, you never knew. Like, 2 years ago, the theater was sold out. This past year, it wasn't that great.
Yeah.
So, it varies.
You know, for an interesting side note, the town we're going through right now, it looks like a scene from Deliverance.
Yeah, the rain doesn't help either.
Well, no, it doesn't. But when you look over and you see, you know, a black stretch limousine in front of a burnt out house, you're probably, you know, you can hear in the distance, and then you just see the Children of the Corn coming out of the woods or something, and I'm like, yeah, I would definitely wouldn't want to be here at night. That's your
name, sure. For sure. I mean, I think the rain drives the point home. Like, it just drives on what you're trying to say. This is exactly like that.
Oh, so. Exactly. And it's like, and for those of you that don't like the audio, then you know what? Oh well. You know, trying to have a little fun here. Get off my back. So, Anthony, big thanks to Anthony for that question. Our next question is, I don't know where I know I copied and pasted a lot of this. I don't know where who this came from, so I apologize in advance. I'm pretty sure it comes from the Meat Boys, so go search them on Twitter, because they always ask me, whenever I do Q&As, they always ask me about food, and then that's what I wanted. So they asked, we'll say the Meat Boys, and if it's not you, I apologize, but they asked what your favorite food is and why. I used to be a big hunter, deer hunter. After my father-in-law ended up having a stroke a couple years ago, you know, I never really got back into it, never had the time, and honestly, just, I always did it with him. That was our thing. We go out in the middle of nowhere and just listen to the birds chirp and shoot some stuff.
Yeah.
Preferably deer, of course, not each other.
I figured. You weren't going to pull a Dick Cheney on anybody.
Yeah, no. No, especially not my father-in-law, because I don't think it would go over really too well in the family.
Yeah, I can imagine.
So... I'm a big venison fan. Love venison. And I learned it from him, where you'd actually get the venison backstrap. And for those of you that don't know venison or a deer, the backstrap is basically, they're around the spine of a deer. There's like the tenderest meat you're ever gonna get out of a deer.
Okay.
And that's backstrap.
Okay.
So basically you kind of quarter off. It kind of looks, it's gonna sound bad, but it's like tube meat.
Yeah.
You know, not tube steak for fucking probably Summersuit Tim out there. Even if he does listen, but whatever. I'm sure you get some sort of like tube steak joke in there or whatever. But you basically cut very fine, very good tender meat.
Yeah.
And what you would do is you cut it in a circular shape and you wrap bacon around it.
Yeah.
And basically you throw it on the grill. You don't cook it for that long. You basically cook it for probably about 5 minutes total. And then it's just the juices from the bacon will sear into it. And it's just like, oh, it just melts in your mouth.
Interesting. I've never had venison before.
So, well, yeah, we can get that deer back there. Yeah, it might be a little waterlogged.
There's some hillbillies and fucking it. Yeah, we can pick
it up. Yeah, you're right. Some hill people are probably eating it raw or something. But yeah, that's probably, it's the most tender and it's good for you too.
Yeah.
There's hardly any fat on it. But I'd say venison backstrap, bacon wrapped around with it, maybe a little side, you know, mashed taters, canned corn or whatever. At least that's for me.
Yeah. For me, it's very inside baseball on this one here, so...
I'm going to be really pissed off if it's not poutine.
No, it's not poutine.
Damn it!
I love poutine, don't get me wrong. And for anybody who's not in Canada who thinks you've had poutine, you haven't, you didn't have it right, you got to come up north.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. As soon as you cross that border, you can't make poutine right now. I don't know what it is, but just the way she goes.
Yeah.
Anyways, my favorite food, I've got a few favorite foods, but I think it's easy for me to go with a specific food from a specific place. And for me, the best thing I'll ever eat, and I was telling you about it earlier on our
show,
it's chicken wings.
Okay.
I love chicken wings, but there's a place in, it's just outside of Hamilton, Ontario. It's anyone who knows, again, I know there's some Canadian listeners here, so they might know what I'm talking about. I know you said you have a couple listeners in Niagara Falls, Ontario, so they might know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So it's in Westdale, the Westdale area of Hamilton, just outside of Dundas. It's a little hole in the wall called Right Wingers.
Okay.
It's only open in the afternoons. It doesn't look like much from the outside, but these are the most delicious chicken wings you'll ever have in your entire life. You go there, like, I could go there If I had to pick one food to eat every day for the rest of my life, it would be that, and I know I would never get sick of it. That's how good they are.
Really?
Like, nothing else compares. Like, these are the best chicken wings I've ever had. Nothing's even close. You know, like, I won't even order wings anywhere else anymore, just because I know I'm going to be disappointed.
You know, even more inside baseball, we're going to go a little off on a tangent here, because I like talking about it, and, you know, guys at work, guys that, you know, like, follow me on Twitter or whatever, always make fun of me, because 9 times out of 10, whenever I take lunch to work, it's bologna. And you know where I'm going with this, and that I'm going definitely going there. Fried bologna, if I could eat one food the rest of my life, it would be bologna, because I could eat it so many different ways. I don't know why. It just, you know, you could have, maybe it's because I grew up on it.
That'll probably do it, yeah.
Yeah, as our ears pop, we're going through the hills. But, you know, I grew up fried bologna, fry it, mayonnaise. I even tried it if you ever had, like, cooked onions.
Oh, yeah.
A little of that, mustard, mayo, whatever. And everybody out there now is probably throwing up in a waste paper basket next to him or something. But there's at least one guy out there that matters. That's Tony Giovanni, that eats fried bologna sandwiches. Or yeah, just bologna sandwiches, period.
I think the fried bologna is a you and Tony love affair. That's definitely not my style. I don't mind bologna on a cold cut, but...
But that's
it. I don't know. I tried it once. It wasn't for me.
But the thing is, so that's, you know, it's what you grow up on, because I got two younger brothers, and you go to the grocery store, or whether you go to the meat market or whatever, you get that Wonder Bar bologna. And you get it cut off. You know, the meat guy will give you, you know, growing up, I'm, you know, freaking 7, 8 years old, 10, whatever. They give you a little piece, taste of it. Oh, here you go, kid.
Yeah.
Bam, that's, you know, it goes back to that. And, you know, I'm the only one in my household that eats it. My wife will actually go get me a pound. I shit you not. Gives me a pound of bologna. That'll last me a week.
That's crazy.
It's like that fucking thick.
The cold cut that I always like, and I still love it too, I'll make it on sandwiches whenever I get a chance to do that. Like, I'm on the road so much for work, I don't really have time to prep lunch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more so I'm just kind of eating whatever I get my hands on. But the one thing that I love, and I don't know if you have it down here, you must. Have you ever heard of mock chicken? It's got like an orange strip around the outside of it.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Love it. Love it.
You now put I know
you're sandwich, a little bit of mayo. Yeah. Fantastic. That's all you need. Mix it with bologna. That's good, too. But I've never fried the shit. I'll get it cold.
Anything's better than fried. Christ, you know?
I will say I do love your story of going out hunting and finding your venison and stuff like that. I've never had experiences like that, so... Yeah. If he got into wrestling, he would have been like ahead of his time heel. Like, he is such a heel, and he is very, like, he would be like, I don't think he would have been exactly as over as MJF, but he would have been close, because he's got a bit of that pompous to him.
Yeah.
Like, my father's always done well for himself, so he's always kind of held himself in a higher regard. And I remember, and this is a story that sticks out very well. I've seen you've gone fishing in your life.
Yeah.
I never have. And the story behind that is, I remember this very well. It's one of my earliest memories, but it's also one of my funniest ones. I was in elementary school. I think I was in grade 3 or 4. And it was around, in Canada, it's Victoria Day weekend. It's like the May 2-4, May long weekend. And we came back to school on the Monday, and I was talking with some kids in my class, and everyone was talking about what they were doing. And one kid said he went fishing with his dad. So I asked him about that, because I, at this point, it had to be grade 3, because we were still young. I had never even heard of fishing.
Yeah.
So I ask him what it is. He's like, oh, you get a rod and you go in a boat and you put the worms and shit on your hook and you go and you catch fish that live in the water.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that sounds fucking amazing. That sounds really fun. So I go home that day and I'm like, I'm going to ask my dad if we can go fishing. So he had a recliner that he would sit in. He's reading the newspaper. And I said, hey, one of my like classmates, and this is like little me talking, so it doesn't sound obviously as nice as I'm right now.
Right.
But you know, I love the idea of fishing. Somebody, my class went fishing. Let's go fishing. And my dad just puts his newspaper down and looks at me, and verbatim, I'll never forget it. He looks at me right dead in the eye and says, son, fishing is for boring assholes. We don't do that. And I've never gone fishing. I was like, oh, okay. And that was it.
Well, see, but that's the thing. Because my son, Gavin, is the same way. He's like, because we go, it's kind of like, my son and I, Gavin, have certain things that we just do, just us.
Yeah.
We go to baseball games, as you know. We live right close to Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
So we'll go up, and there's there's
just on the other side.
Just on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Danny, what's on the other side of the lake? Oh, that's Travis is over there. But anyway, so we we do our thing. We go to the lake.
Yeah.
We go, there's like a little pier. He'll go feed the ducks. He'll go throw, he'll skip rocks, all that bullshit. And we'll go up there in the, you know, we'll go up there in, even in the winter too, because there's like, as you know, on Lake Ontario, it freezes.
Yeah.
By the shore, and there'll be like little, I call them ice volcanoes.
Yeah.
And you'll see that, you'll look down, you don't get too close to it, obviously, because you'll fall in.
Yeah.
But anyways, the point of that comment is, we go up there, Daddy, I want to go fishing, I want to go fishing. And I'm like, I know, I'm not rolling in the money, so I don't have a boat. So it's like, okay, we're going to go from the pier, or we're going to go from the fucking, from land. So I'm like, and he's like, Daddy, why don't we eat the fish? I'm like, no, you don't want the fish from Lake Ontario.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't even like the water from Lake Ontario.
Dude. I know, I get gross because I grew up in Hamilton again. If anyone who knows Hamilton just knows, like, it's a factory town. It's like Pittsburgh of Canada.
Yeah.
And you don't go anywhere near that water. And I get, like, so disgusted when I see people actually swimming in that water.
Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Like, you come out with, like, you come out with, like, a third arm,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, so, like, the fish coming out of there are, like, Blinky from The Simpsons. Like, you don't eat that fish.
You got, like, 16 eyes.
he said three, actually.
Yeah, whatever.
The point's still the same. I can't
say. It's close enough.
What's the next question?
So we have, I got to get back here. So our next question comes from Conrad, another Conrad, from the Everything Pro Wrestling podcast. You go follow them on Twitter, at EPW Show, a native of Buffalo, mind you.
Okay.
He's from, I think he's Amherst, right outside my hometown.
Yep.
So he asks, what wrestling moment had an influence on you that many don't talk about?
I'll think about that one first.
Okay, so I'll go. So, my wrestling moment that people don't talk about is not as frequently, anyways, was when I hate admitting this because now the fact I grew up a huge Brutus the Barber Beefcake fan.
Why?
I do not know. I fucking don't know. And maybe because, you know, it was the music. I grew up, I mean, maybe you did too, you know, the old cassette tape where they had, I think it was like six songs on there.
Yep.
It was him. It was Dusty Rhodes, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, and Jake the Snake.
Yep.
And, oh no, the fifth was Super Fight, Snuka.
Okay.
I listened to the Beefcake song over and over and over again. But when he beat Mr. Perfect and gave him his first loss, since that day, I have hated Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake. You know, and not to people, if you listen to, you know, Something to Wrestle With, you know, as you do, you know that story. Because they did that for the Mr. Perfect episode.
Of course.
And from that day forward, I hated, I despise, I shouldn't say hated, because hate is a strong word. I dislike Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Of course.
And we may see him this weekend, I don't know, and I'll find, you know,
is he here this weekend?
I who the fuck knows.
Oh, okay, I was going to say, I know Jimmy Hart's here this weekend.
Is there a thermos convention? Maybe, you
know. Hogan's not in town.
Is Hogan in town, so maybe Beefcake won't be.
So you got to hold Hogan's week.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the one time certain people don't talk about. There's some people that do. You know, that small community that it's that Conrad Thompson Empire of podcasting talk about. But, yeah, I just despise Brutus Beefcake now.
I get that.
And, you know, maybe that starts from birth for a lot of people. It didn't for me. Because, you know, growing up, you know, being the freaking 6-year-old slapdick that I was, compared to a 35-year-old slapdick now, but I like Beefcake. I don't know why. I just did.
I get that.
I don't anymore.
I mean, I don't get it, but I get it.
You don't get it, but you get it.
Yeah.
It's one of the things. So what's your moment?
Oh, mine. One that people don't talk about, but a moment that, you know, really, I really enjoyed and had a lot of influence on me. I just love the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Was that moment, and this is a rare moment coming from WrestleMania 9, because we all know that was pretty crappy WrestleMania. But the moment when the sand was thrown into Bret Hart's eyes and he took the pin from Yokozuna.
It sold.
Loved it.
You're a Yokozuna fan forever.
Not really. I just don't like Bret Hart. So I was like, yeah, some more sand in Bret Hart's eyes, please.
Shout out to JD.
I love that one. That was a good moment. I'm trying to think if I had any other ones. Oh, that insurrection pay-per-view where I was very young again when
That was the UK one, right?
Yeah, it was the UK one. I had a cassette of it somewhere, like a bootleg version of it, because at one point I believe it was Sable ripped off Jacqueline's top and her tits were hanging out.
Chocolate titties.
Oh, yeah. That had a lot of influence on a young Travis as well. So
he has a lot of influence on an old Travis too.
Hey, you never know. So that was a good one too. I mean, for me, that I love that moment because I mean, I never ever liked Bret Hart. So that one, I was just I really really enjoyed that moment.
And now looking back on it now, Jackie Moore, one of the toughest, if not the toughest women in all of wrestling. I put her one and two compared with her and actually three. Over to four. Fuck. Now I'm fucked. Toughest for her, Jackie Moore, Sensational Sherry Martel.
Yep.
Mae Young.
Yep.
And is this, it may get me heat, but fuck. They just did the show on shit. Fabulous Moolah. There you go.
Oh yeah.
They may get me heat because of the stories.
Yeah.
Quote unquote stories that came out about her, but I. Fuck, man.
No, it's a good list.
But yeah, it's. Little sidebar.
Yeah, if Jacqueline came up today, she would be like she would be prominently featured on TV like Becky Lynch's. She was tough.
Oh yeah.
And she was good.
You know, another tough, you know, modern day outside of WWE, there's two. And they're both in the NWA right now. Mm. Thunder Rosa.
Yep.
And Camille.
Yep.
Shout out to Jay-Z for that one. That's his girl. And I'm sure that's Mrs. Jay-Z's girl too.
Probably.
As they're in North Carolina.
Next question.
What are you trying to fuck? What? We got shit, man. We got an hour and a half. Come on.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
At some point, we're going to stop for lunch. I don't want to have to break the podcast up into two because I will want to eat something soon.
Oh, fuck. Oh, so, Jesus Christ.
We'll figure that. We'll keep it going for now, though.
We'll keep it going for now. So, where are we going? There we go. Our next question comes from Josh Marriott. He was at Josh Marriott 12. I don't know how familiar you are with the UK scene, but. We'll just say for shits and giggles, we'll pick one. What is better, ICW or Progress? Or Progress, whatever way you want to say it. I'm going to say Progress.
I'm going to say Progress because I've heard more of that one than the other one. I really haven't watched either one, though.
Yeah, neither have I. I watch more Progress than anything, but...
There's only 24 hours in a day. I gotta pick my spots.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I don't think I've seen much of Progress. I've heard a lot about it, though, and I know people in the industry who... think very highly of Progress, so I would assume that there's reasons behind all of that. Why I hear more about one, and why certain people in the industry that I know do like one over the other. So I would have to say Progress if I had to guess.
Yeah, there's not really too much that you can't really get into depth on this one. But
for sure.
Josh, thanks for the question. Moving on, this comes from the Get Chew podcast, or Get Chew, that's CHO podcast on Twitter. Who's a wrestler you think would get left behind in Saudi Arabia, either by force or by being so drunk and or forgetting the flight is going?
It's a good one.
I'm going to say, and I like him as a talent, is... fuck, I just lost it. Son of a bitch. fuck. Lost his fucking name. I had it in my fucking head. I should have written it down, too. I got kids. Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Being left behind just because he's being annoying or he's trying to, you know, air guitar or something. But I'd say Heath Slater.
What I would like to see, he's not current roster, but just because it goes back to my deep hatred of him.
Bret Hart.
No, CM Punk.
Oh, CM Chump.
Pay him a shitload of money to come to Saudi Arabia and just forget to... give him that the flight leaves a couple hours later than it does, and then just leave him there.
Oh, why not? What the hell?
Yeah, fuck him.
I growing up, I always called him CM Chump because I never liked him growing or when he came up. So
I never liked him.
I never met him in person. He could be a very nice guy. I don't know.
Maybe. I hate him for a lot of the reasons why I hate Bret Hart too. I didn't hate him as a wrestler, but then after he left, and the more time that's just gone on, I'm just like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
So
that makes sense to me. So, all right, we got two more questions, and then we got the list of wives. And I think we're doing pretty good on time. Oh, well, look at that. We're almost an hour. So,
beautiful.
So our next question comes from the Working Fans Wrestling Podcast, who are at Fans Working on Twitter. How do you decide which shows you're going to watch each week? I pretty much will give you my rundown. I won't watch Raw.
No.
I'll watch NWA on YouTube at 6:05 on Tuesdays. I may or may not watch AEW Dark. It really depends. But pretty much it's going to be NWA Tuesdays. I'm going to watch NXT on Wednesdays and record DVR AEW.
Yep.
And then occasionally and or I may or may not watch SmackDown. So pretty much it's Wednesday night.
Yep.
Tuesday,
yep.
Wednesday night.
Yeah, currently for me, very similar. I don't watch Raw. I will watch NWA Power. Little different from you. I will also watch Impact.
I forgot about that.
I got friends in Impact.
Yeah.
Of different levels, so I will always support my friends in Impact. Plus, if you've been burned by Impact in the past, sorry, but check it out again. They're getting their shit together.
Definitely.
Good stuff. And I don't watch AEW Dark. I have watched some AEW Dynamite. It's good. I don't mind it. It's nice to hear Tony on commentary again, so that's always enjoyable.
Yeah.
NXT has been great. But again, in terms of like a lot of those stuff, like I'll kind of what I'll usually do with those shows is I never catch them live. Like I just don't have the time to catch them live.
Right. Right.
So with Impact and AEW, Impact and NWA, I watch them on demand, and then with AEW and NXT, I will DVR both. I'll DVR, because we got two DVRs at home, so I'll DVR both of them. And once I kind of get some time during the week, I'll just kind of fast forward through them, watch what I kind of want to watch. Skip the shit I don't really want to see. Just because I don't have a lot of time in the week, so that's kind of how I have to approach it. After that, don't watch SmackDown. I do still try and catch MLW as well.
They
got a great product.
Yeah, so. I watched their show. This last pay-per-view they had last Saturday.
Yeah.
Point being, just to watch our mutual friend Doug Markham.
Yeah.
As the one, the referee there as well. And I think our friend, or Dave Hancock, was there for wrestling travel.
Yep.
And Michael Barry Sr., one of my past co-hosts, was there as well, being in Chicago. But anyways, thanks to Working Fans Wrestling Podcast for that question. Our last question, next to best for last.
Okay.
Our friend Turbo.
Okay.
Who is at Official Turbo on Twitter. Go give him a follow. He has his own business down there, which is Vision Dents. Go follow them on Twitter as well. He asks, what is the one thing that you guys are looking forward to doing this weekend at StarCast?
So for me, because I worked the last StarCast, I kind of know what to expect. I mean, this one's a little bit of a different layout. Like, previous StarCasts, all the events and everything are kind of in the same hotel that you're staying at. This one here, it's over at Power Plant Live. So it's nearby, but it's not the same venue. But I'm certainly looking forward to seeing some of the stage shows where I can, because I am primarily working the whole event. I really hope I get to work with MJF again. I was the guy who worked with MJF on his meet and greet in Chicago. Great time. Again, almost got punched in the face for it. good times. I worked with Marco Stunt. He was great. I worked with quite a few guys. I had to escort Kenny Omega from. I had to get him to the stage, to the Bucks stage show in secret. And it was actually a funny story behind that. I was sent originally to find Hangman Page, and I couldn't find him for the stage show with the Bucks, because he was going to be starting the show with them. And then one of the stage producers messaged me and said, okay, no, he just showed up, just head back. I said, okay, fine. And then Dave Silva, friend of our show, and friend of everybody, because he's a great guy,
he
came out and he said, Travis, I need you to escort someone to the stage show. And for the Young Buck stage show, he's a secret guest, and you need to get him there quietly and then wait with him, and then when you get the queue, let him in. And it said, the producers already know he's coming, so just get him there now and make sure no one sees him. So I said, okay, fine. So he's like, he's just down in the AEW green room, just head down there and grab him. He's the only one in there. And he didn't say who. I opened the door, and there's Kenny Omega standing there. So he's very friendly. We're both Canadian, so we start shooting the shit about that. And I get him over to, and there's like one part where you have to like run across a public hallway. So where the green rooms were, it's hard to describe if you haven't been to the hotel, but anyone who's listening who worked it or has been there, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But you have to get from where that part is, near the back entrance to the production office at the Chicago StarCast, across the public hallway, through the meet and greet room, and then it takes you to a back hallway where they have the stage shows, and that's where they come in and go on stage. So I had to get them through that public hallway. There was like only a couple people there. So I kind of had to run walk with him and get him in there. And then they forgot his cue to come up, so we were standing in the back with him for like 20 minutes just talking with him. Until finally, one of the Young Bucks wives who was there, she had to go out there and remind them that he was standing back there so they could bring him in. That was a great time. So I'm looking forward to stuff like that. And just also, catching up with, the fellow slapdicks and everybody else who's there. It's a great communal experience. It's great to meet a lot of people there. So I'm definitely looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, being my first StarCast that I've physically been at, I obviously following a lot of the last StarCast, just following them in general, but just looking for those just the experience in general. Being a wrestling fan, as long as I have been, meeting guys when they're kind of, pun intended, low key.
Yeah.
Whomever, just those interesting conversations you could have with a Kenny Omega, that you could have with him at Adam Page or the Bucks or Cody or whatever. Just those things that you may necessarily get a picture with him, even though it would be kind of cool to do it. But that experience where you could just tell stories, whether people believe you or not.
Yeah.
Ironically,
the only person I got a picture with at all of StarCast Weekend, minus like a few friends, was Jimmy Hart. And it was like on the Sunday, there was only a few meet and greets. We were leaving on the Sunday. I wasn't really doing anything work-wise on the Sunday. I had a long week leading up to that show, so by Sunday I was pretty burnt out. So I was just relaxing, and I came across there, and I'm like, fuck, I've always wanted to meet Jimmy Hart. So $20, great meet and greet. And as Conrad says on his shows, if you book talents for things like this, Jimmy Hart, he brings people, and he's great to work with. So meet Jimmy Hart. He's great. It gives you the time of your day. It gives you all the time in the world you want with him, and it was a fantastic experience.
Yeah, definitely. So that is all the rest of our questions we have. So I appreciate everybody that has asked some questions. But we're, like I said previous at the beginning of the show, we're gonna do something called the List of Wives. Big shout out to the All Elite Podcast. Like I said, go follow them, subscribe to them, and follow them on Twitter. Kyle and Tiffany as well. So I'll start, just so we know the concept. I know I explained it to you before. We've done it before in, private chats. But I'll go with mine. We got a list of eight. I'll, briefly describe each one why, or I'll just go right down. So I'll go from eight to one.
Okay.
My eight list of wives. Dana Brooke.
Okay.
Pretty much self-explanatory. She could probably beat the crap out of me, and I might just let her.
I get it.
Number seven, the doctor will see you now, Britt Baker.
Okay.
Simply because you could always use a good dentist. Number six is, she just got to NXT, had her NXT debut last night. There was a recording. This is a shout out to the Boots to the Face podcast. Santana Garrett, second generation wrestler, women's wrestler, and obvious reasons.
Yeah.
The fifth, you may or may not know her. She's fairly new to MLW. Casey Lennox.
Okay.
If you don't know, go Google her. Twitter, Instagram, you'll know why. Number four, Candice LeRae.
Okay.
Mrs. Johnny Gargano, Mrs. Johnny Wrestling, Mr. Johnny, whatever. Probably one of the toughest, if not the toughest, women's wrestlers out there today.
Okay.
Number three, Natty Neidhart. Number three.
Yep.
Self-explanatory. Number two, Tennille Dashwood.
Okay.
I don't know what it does. Maybe it's the accent. I don't know. It's got to be.
Okay.
And number one, we talked about her earlier when we were talking about Impact, Tessa Blanchard.
Tessa's nice. Yeah, absolutely.
Self-explanatory, one of the toughest, probably the toughest women's wrestler of all time. So,
okay.
Those are my list of wives. Travis,
give me one second here. What I'm doing right now is I'm just because I'm going to go from eight backwards too, but I don't want to get anything jumbled in my head. So I already kind of got it in my head. I'm just taking a quick note on my phone. Hypothetically, I'm not texting and using my phone, of course.
Of course not. You're driving.
Of course not. So I just want to make sure I've got everyone.
We have a driver.
Of course. Conrad sent for a driver.
We're big deals.
Yeah, exactly. So I just want to make sure I've got everyone in mind that I would have in mind, because again, I don't want to leave anybody out. That
would, well, of course,
fair.
That would be nice.
Of
not
course.
Fair.
So
we're all fair right here at Ringside Rant.
Absolutely. So give me one second here. I'm just making sure I've got my order right.
This is great podcasting, by the way.
Oh, this is great podcasting.
You know, we get this ambiance with the rain on the windshield, you know.
Well, it's funny because I used to host, because I produce a number of podcasts back home, and a podcast that I produced back home, we used to do a weekly recording from a local music venue where they'd interview bands and stuff that were playing, and it was normally a bar in the front, music venue in the back, so we'd always do all our interviews in the front, so it was a great ambiance because you get the, you know, background sounds of, like, you know, glasses,
yeah,
light chatter, people playing pool. But the audio quality for the interview was always top-notch. It created a real nice, warm sound when you listen to it.
Yeah.
It's a little different. We're driving in a shitstorm. Coming along. I don't even know where we are. I think we're still in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I think Pennsylvania is a bitch to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I've got mine here, and this is, like, pretty good one. I tried to keep it to names that people are going to know, because I do have a couple in mind that you probably haven't heard of yet.
Yeah.
But time will change.
I'm sure. So, it can always change.
Exactly. So number 8 for me. If you had to guess my number 8, what would you think that would be?
Asuka.
Number 8? No. Number 8 for me is Naomi.
Huh.
I love Naomi. She's fantastic.
I cannot. I will not object with that.
No, of course not. Number 7 goes back. This is more so nostalgic. Even, like, you know, obviously better back in the prime, but still good today. Lita.
Huh.
I grew up on Lita. I had many of posters of her on my wall when I was a young child.
I'm personally a Trish Stratus guy, but hey.
No, I know. I've met Trish a few times. She's great.
Hey.
Way hotter in person, too. It's almost...
And she's Canadian.
It's almost... Exactly. No, she used to have a yoga studio just around, not too far from my house. It's closed up now.
That's too bad.
But, I've worked with her many times in radio, and, you know, it's almost not fair how hot she is in, like, real life. It's kind of nuts. So that was number 7. Number 6 for me, you know, I love everything about her. Plus, we already know what she's good at, is Paige. So, we know what Paige is good at, so I know what to expect.
Catching the mist, right?
Exactly.
There you go.
That's it.
And we all know where that is.
All day long. So, number 5, this one's a little bit different, but, you know, when you catch her at the right angle on TV, you'll know what I mean. Number 5, yeah, number 5 for me is Bailey.
Okay.
So, I catch the right angle, you get completely wide. Number 4 for me, Carrie Sane. She could drop that elbow on me all day long. I'm good with that.
And we all know what elbow that is.
Oh, yeah. Number 3, Io Shirai. Ever since she turned heel, like, I don't know what it is about that heel turn. It works for me.
Oh, we saw her last night. She's going to be in a ladder match with, shit. The hell's her name? Dakota Kai.
Yeah. So that'll be good.
Okay.
Number 2, this one, again, a little unexpected for people who know me, but I've met her in person. I've seen her wrestle a number of times in person. And again, I would wife her all day. Jordynne Grace.
Huh. Okay.
Love Jordynne Grace.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. Just love Jordynne Grace. And number 1, for anyone who knows anything about me, we all know that's Asuka. If my wife dyed her hair pink, she would look a lot like Asuka. So I don't know if that's the factor for it. So ever since Asuka broke onto the scene, I've been trying to get my wife to dye her hair pink and blue. She won't do that for obvious reasons, because she has a professional job.
Well, right.
But she's starting to kind of turn her head at wrestling. So maybe I can, that'll remain to be seen. So, like...
Well, put a mask, does she do the whole masking too? Or just kind of do the thing and bite in?
I don't know. We'll see. I'm not gonna ask my wife to try a green mist. That's a little too far for her. But it all works for me. So.
I think that's the other way around. But anyways, that was our list of whys. If you guys have any comments, feel free, hit us up on Twitter @_ringsiderant. Travis, as always, it's always been fun to chat with you. I figured, you know, we got that 6-hour drive. You know, we've chatted quite a bit on the way down here. Just about anything. You know, talking about Surge, any or Surge drinks, to, you know, wrestling, to whatever, to, you know, random shit we see on the side of the road. But,
yep.
You know, appreciate it. I know we're going to be sitting down with you and
Justin and Travis.
Justin and American Travis coming up soon for another Slapdick Roundtable. So until then, welcome to Ranters Nation.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
I have a great deal for you with our friends over at Powerslam TV. If you head over there and give the promo code RingsideRants, you get your first 30 days free. Yes, I said free. So if you head over to Powerslam TV and use the promo code RingsideRants, right there where you put that promo code, you get 30 days free. So a big thanks to our great sponsors over at Powerslam TV.